Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the classics, an early guest, one of our favorites, one of your favorites. Been way too long since he's been on. He's a hilarious actor, improviser, who writes on TV shows like Grand Crew, video games, TV shows about video games. Mm-hmm. Please welcome Thought Dead, trademark. It's Iffy Wideaway!
Yes! Yes, a.k.a. Iffy Shuku. Every time I check my bank account, Iffy Shuku, you wouldn't even believe my bank amount. Iffy Shuku, I can't count up the whole goddamn amount. Iffy Shuku, I made it. And sometimes I forget that I'm famous, just like I'm Amos. Turn around. It's the worst little Uzi Vert verse of 2022. He ruined a Baby Keem song, but...
Hey, it's all right.
Beside that bar, it's actually the worst just bar. The verse itself, okay. That bar, he made a famous Amos reference in the year of our Lord 2022.
Yeah.
You know. But yes, I'm here.
The dad in me appreciates that. Yeah. The dad in me sees the dad in you.
Yeah, you're like, it's time to pack my kids' lunch. You're right.
You're like, I'm late for school. You're like, hold on. Let me put on I Just Wanna Rock by Lil Uzi Vert. You ready for this one?
That song goes. It has that's no reason goals. Being as good as it is, but it is.
I have a question for you dads out here. How often are you like it when you're trying to like rock a baby? You know what I mean? Do you ever just rap a verse? Like, cause I feel like people have baby appropriate songs, but I have so many rap verses memorized that I feel like if I could summon it, I could be like, you know, I could just lean into it, you know, like, I'm a hustler, baby.
I rock a fly baby in the summertime for sure.
Oh yeah. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. And you look, they're so young, they're not even going to remember all the words you're using. So you can just go full explicit on that rock on the first few years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pretend I know the whole Rap God verse by Eminem. And they're like, you know, I was spitting that shit perfect when you were a baby.
Yeah, you just don't remember it because you were a child.
Yeah. It's definitely like more of my brain is Dr. Seuss shit now. Like I just realized like we were waiting in line somewhere and we started doing, I don't know, like some silly, you know, shit. And I realized I know all of Dr. Seuss's ABCs like by heart. and can just like spit that back, which is not like that hard. You already know what order it comes in because it's the ABCs. But yeah, there's a lot of rhymes that start taking up space that used to be occupied by Ghostface verses, I think. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Italian music down the river with your chick clinging. Like, that's gone now to my bit-alls, player you mad for.
That's right. Iffy, how are you doing, man? It's been way too long.
Yeah, I know it's been way too long. It's, you know, I've been trying to squeeze in here between gigs, but, like, it really was a quick runner last year because I was doing Twisted Metal at the top of the year. And then right after Twisted Metal, I was back in Grand Cru. But now, you know, I'm chilling, developing some stuff, you know, that's inside cool, baseball. Yeah. But, you know, now I have free time. I've been dying to come on the pod. And now is the perfect time because I think if I would have went in when I was like right after the room, when I was just like, you know, like neck deep in writing a TV show and not coming up for air. But now, you know, I'm back on my gym routine, and part of my gym routine, which, you know, this, if you don't know this already, Zeit Gang, if you are on Spotify, you can do the daily drive. That's my shit. And what they do when you do the daily drive is they mix in the NPR kind of like daily up first, and then it goes into your music playlist, and then they'll pick like a podcast that's your vibe. I think they figured out that I'm a leftist. So then it goes to Marketplace. Then it'll play some more playlists. And then if you come back in the day, you'll get the updates with NPR's kind of up next updates, which is great.
So why are you trying to, hold on, man. I just told you I was having a kid and you're trying to take money out of his mouth. Okay. Yeah. right there. Because, you know, we have a morning show too. And then we will update you later in the day. I also give music recommendations, but yes. Shout out that other app.
Oh yeah, that other. I know. I'm fucking chilling. But you know, definitely. Because when I was in my deep pod one, I was double dipping. Listening to y'all, listening to this, but also I do think Spotify does need to get the TDZ because y'all would fit the vibe more because it is funny having to go from NPR's tone to like Baby Keem, and I'm like, this would never be on KPCC or wherever you're listening. Like, they are never going to be like, okay, the needle drop after Ira Glass hop off. It's going to be the
they're like, get ready.
They try and do it sometimes, and it's embarrassing every time they do.
It is jarring. Whereas, like, if the needle drop came off of us, you'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we go out on some bangers. Right. So, if you work in Spotify, definitely let them know to get TDZ in that daily drive.
Let them know.
That's my new campaign. To make up for what I just did, I'm definitely going to see what I can do to pull some strings.
Man, also, Grand Cru was dope. I got to tell you. Oh, thank you. Grand Cru,
so
man.
Good. Yeah,
I can confidently say this next season is going to be funnier. And I think, you know, if you're like, I feel like when you're in the city and you're tapped in, everyone kind of knows that first season is kind of more establishing everyone's relationships and getting to know. And second season, we were able to just go like, what's the funniest shit we can think of?
I feel like you guys were able to get to that pretty quickly, though. Like, after like the first few, if the show really fucking caught its stride, and I still love that Pipe Jerry or Jerry Pipe joke. I don't know who wrote that one, but
I forget who did that, but what I do remember is I was trying so hard to be Pipe Jerry. I was like, and then when we saw Pipe Jerry, I was like, nah, y'all got the right one. Cause your boy is buff, but that guy was shredded. Yeah.
That was Pipe Jerry. Right? Yeah, that was
Wait, tell the Pipe Jerry joke. What is it?
Oh, so Nikki in her phone has Pipe Jerry and Jerry Pipe. One is a handyman, one is a stripper. And she calls the stripper up when she wanted the handyman, but he comes in as a handyman, so they think it's him. And then he just starts getting it.
Nice. I just love the fucking difference of Jerry Pipe and Pipe Jerry. Pipe Jerry.
Yeah.
It was so different.
The fine balance.
Yeah.
Yes.
What is something from your search history?
Recently, I was searching sandwiches near me.
Mm. I love that.
Which I thought was like kind of a funny but pathetic
No.
little thing to search is near me. It all, you know, it's like, what's just near around me in arm's length?
Yeah, reaching distance. Yeah.
You kind of. Yeah, that's like, you're like, you're basically just typing into your phone, I'm hungry.
Sandwiches within earshot. Yeah. So I can yell sandwiches and someone will
hear me. I wanted a sandwich. I would, you know, I did a couple day trip type things that we've had some family visiting over the holidays. And that some of those days really feel like, okay, now you got to have a sandwich after like a day trip. Oh, yeah. And so I needed one in the vicinity.
And where'd you end up?
Well, we just ate at, we were at the Botanical Garden, Huntington Botanical Garden.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Beautiful Botanical Garden. Oh, and we just ate at the cafe there because it was too hard to get to.
Anything
another
else?
Sandwich, but I was thinking of some and I didn't get them, but I'll eventually get there.
You ever, it's funny when you say sandwich near me, because you know, like Google will always autofill stuff for you to be like,
near,
like, I need a physical therapy, like an orthopedic, blah, blah, near me.
Near
and
me?
Part of
yeah,
me
you want it,
goes,
or do you want it really far away?
Part of me, I'm like some weird, like early search snob where I'm like, that's not how you're going to fucking figure out where it is. You know what
I mean?
You don't
need to have it
specific,
in there.
Specific, but obviously, it's optimized to use your location to just figure that on your own. But it's for whatever reason, whenever I see you near me, I'll never do that. I'll fully type in the city. I'm like,
well, I was desperate for a sandwich. Know. That's why I allowed the autocomplete. I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
I need it close. It needs to be here now.
Food there, not that great. Not that great.
No, it was
the Japanese garden. It was immaculate.
Who doesn't love a Japanese garden? Actually, it is like the, I'm semi joking, but it is the most packed place. And you are like, this rules. This is tranquil as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild how diverse, like all of the flora and fauna and stuff. Like we're like, okay, now we're in Asia. Now you're down under in the like succulent desert area.
Are you a dad already? Or this is first baby?
This is no.
You're talking dad talk. Dads. Yeah. Look, I'm a dad. And let me tell you, I love me some flora.
Exactly.
Oh, and don't get me started on fauna because
oh my
shit.
God, it gets nuts. But dads love different types of things growing. I have my father-in-law here, and he has pointed out many a tree. Oh, and I'm interested.
Hey, kid,
I'm like you're preaching the choir, man.
We'll go on a boat, cruise around the bay, check out the flotsam and jetsam, you know.
Ooh,
we do it all.
That would be really nice. Yeah, so that's what I'm into now.
Not so much jetsam, actually. I had a bad experience.
Big flotsam.
With jetsam. Just my flotsam game is on.
You flotsam or jetsam?
Flots.
There you go.
Flots all the way, dude.
No, Miles is definitely built for this shit.
Great.
I have unending useless knowledge to bore my child with.
Yeah,
and then,
that's what they need.
Exactly. And then they'll regurgitate that at school and they'll be like, what's going on at home?
Yes. You know, my son already does that. My son talked about Costco a lot.
Yeah, right.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh no, but oh yes.
Yeah. My kid will talk about like Taco Bell, like how to get a Mexi melt, the carceral state, and Ronald Reagan is why we have unhoused people.
Where's the cheesy gordita crunch? Last time I went there, they didn't have the cheesy gordita crunch meal anymore.
Wow.
They may have you a la carte that thing, man. I don't know.
Your listeners are just eating this up. They're like, wow.
No, our listeners are holding it down. No, because they knew my love of the Mexi melt, and somebody who used to work at a Taco Bell is like, this is how you can order it still. This is how you just tell them how to assemble it. And I was like, thank you so much, dear listeners.
Thank you, sir.
Coming through.
Here's the cheat code.
Because as I think about it, too, you're maybe shortening my life as I become a parent if I keep up with the Taco Bell hacks. So maybe
but that's okay too, because you're gonna want to get out at some point. So it's like if I'm going down, Taco Bell,
you're gonna die like a man.
Yeah, with Taco Bell, that's on Man Thinkers actually.
Mexi melt,
Mexican pizza clutch to my chest.
I love you, son. I see you. Heart attack your way out of there.
What is something you think is overrated?
Staying up late.
Yes.
Spoken like a true father.
Yeah, this has become such a dad cast.
I know.
Shit.
Hey, check out the Botanical Gardens.
Going, huh?
You said it, and I gave an involuntary yes.
Yeah. And I will say also even more sadly that I've always kind of felt that way. Even in my high school days, I was sort of known for like kind of cutting it off at around midnight was like my cutoff in high school.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, well, there's nothing's going to happen anymore. It's over.
Wait, what do you mean nothing's
going to happen? That's what my DARE officer said. Nothing good happens after midnight. So
that's
kind of
how I feel that for different reasons.
Right.
I would say my counterpoint to the DARE officer, I'd be like, no, do your drugs earlier.
Right.
And then you could still get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Don't run with the sun. You know exactly. What I mean? You don't want to be running with the sun. No, you don't want to.
No, wake up refreshed, and you're like, I had a great, insane night last night on tons of drugs.
Packed it in at 11:45.
Yeah, exactly.
7 a.m. to 11:45.
What is, Allison, something you think is overrated?
Well, this goes right kind of into what you guys were just saying. I feel that everyone else in their goddamn opinions are overrated. First of all, mm-hmm. I personally overrate them. But being someone who has a podcast, occasionally I hear, frequently I hear people's opinions about everything about me and my show. And, oh, the way you pronounce that word bothers me. The way you say this bothers me. And because I do overrate it, then I have to be like, fine, I guess I'll just change the way I do everything to appease you. So I just feel like in general, people with all their opinions, if they happen to have to do with me and are negative and make me feel bad, no, thank you.
Just, you know, they always say, you know, living on the words of others is a double-edged sword,
yeah.
You know, because the compliments Damn. Can power you up. But if you really lean on that, the criticism will fucking just cut you in half, too. And I think it's about, for me personally, like through my life, I've tried to get away from that because I'm such a people pleaser that I really do care a lot about what people think. And it's more about centering yourself in everything you do and realizing that the most true living experience you can have is to honor who you are sincerely and really understand that outside commentary can allow those words to penetrate into your soul, because then you're completely doing yourself a disservice and not treating yourself with the sanctity that you deserve. So
that is beautiful. You know,
that's
and
someone's
I agree.
Fucking words.
And I actually, that's sort of, I go back and forth a lot. Like that's something that for the most, I have that realization, maybe not as eloquently as you put it, but I have that realization frequently. And then all of a sudden I will find that these comments bothered me. It's weird. I thought I was a little more armored. All that being said, allow me to say I'm being somewhat facetious. Most part, I love that people listen and for have sure. an opinion. And of course, I want to hear feedback and all of that stuff. I'm just saying occasionally I'm like, no, not today, people.
Occasionally, they should consider shutting the fuck up.
Everyone just occasionally. Should.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's like you have no responsibility to be like, oh, I heard that. It's like, say whatever the fuck you want. I'm not the same, you know. Fuck out of here. I'm just, live your shit from the inside and let that resonate outside. Don't let the shit, don't do that shit in reverse. Don't let the outside shit affect your internal state.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That's so good. I heard
let your
someone
internal
say,
truth resonate out.
Oh, I think it was Harry, noted ginger, was saying that the royal family's policy is like, never complain, never explain. And I was thinking, that's the opposite of my policy. I'm constantly, I'm the most over-explainy person in the whole world.
Right.
And I'll complain too.
Right. Yeah. It's healthier. Yeah. Because the other side of it, you end up writing a book where you just like air out every weird thing that's happened to you in your life. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Harry.
I do want to read it though.
Yeah. I know Anna right now. She's
got we've been getting updates from Super.
She's got the audio book. In real time. She's like, Prince Charles wears Dior sausage. And we're like, Dior sausage? And it was a
Sauvage.
Typo because she meant to say Dior Sauvage.
Yo, and when I responded to her and said, I was over here searching Dior sausage, but Dior Sauvage is so perfect. But as I was trying to type Sauvage, it auto-corrected to sausage. I couldn't get it to. It was like,
no,
you definitely mean Dior sausage, my friend.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Dior sausage. What were you envisioning? Like some kind of high-end sausage that he put on his body?
He has sausage fingers. So I was like, I thought this was something. Yeah, but I wasn't envisioning sausage that he put on his body.
I'm sorry. When I read that text, it fucked me up so bad because how do I not know what a Dior
You got into
sausage
a car
is?
Crash.
I listen to so much rap and luxury brands are named. You kind of by osmosis or kind of up on shit. I'm like, the Dior sausage? Like, is that a food? Or is that a piece of jewelry that he keeps on him? Like, he got that Dior sausage on him. I have no idea.
But what is Dior Sauvage? Is that a line of something?
It's the cologne. Super offensive Johnny Depp cologne. It's Dior's cologne that they have where, Johnny Depp is in the ads playing electric guitar around indigenous peoples
oh God.
In the desert
yeah.
and
no
just very
Very like offensive. Running with a wolf or some shit.
Isn't yeah, like running with a wolf. He, so many scarves. Like he's just yeah. being swallowed by scarves. And he's just out there at, in the desert with the moon and wolves and indigenous people. And
it's heavy-handed nonsense.
It's like a thing that they doubled down on him being the spokesperson for the product as he was on trial.
It's oh, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, shout out the sausage, though.
Yeah. But the sausage has a great snap. Delicious. It's really good. What is something you think is underrated, Teresa?
I'm going to go real basic, organizing bins. I moved in with my boyfriend recently and into like hey, where he already
congratulations.
Lives.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. But I've been
good
like...
Things, good and times?
It's great, but yeah. you know, this is probably something guys who have been through this will relate to, I think, because I think that it's more common than I realized. I move things around constantly because we didn't move in together. So I'm like shuffling things around. I started getting bins to put things that are out, like, oh, floss, pens. Now everything's in bins, but it's still like around because I'm not trying to like, so now like his friends will come over and be like, ah, oh, I see there's more bins around. Like, it's, like just like all the loose items that were out and about are now in bins, but I right. love it. And I think that it doesn't distract from his flow to yeah. like,
what do you mean by, do you mind showing me like, yeah. so give me an example of something
okay, well,
that was
a,
like,
one little one, like a, yeah. And then yeah. There's a, well, I wish I can't grab it now, but these bright room clear ones, if you Target sells them, they're great. You can stack them like by our, where
so
we,
you're just
like, organizing.
It's not like you're filling up like Rubbermaid storage containers. No, you're no. like, yeah, man,
but
there's
they're
all
everywhere.
This stuff.
They're, very they're neat. Everywhere. They're in the bathroom, they're in the kitchen. It's like that, what is that ludicrous song? Like, in the car, in the bathroom.
Oh, oh yeah. The song, the jacuzzi, song. In the backseat at the yeah, movies. Yeah, yeah. You can push yeah, me and just pull me. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give it to
but
me now.
Yeah, I got
to
recommend. I can't recommend any more of these clear bins because they stack. You could put like coffee pods, tea, chocolate, every like.
Yeah.
They're
no,
clear.
That's true.
They're nice.
I've never, it's funny. So you've probably seen this. I feel like Asian people will use like Tupperware too as
yes.
like container storage things, like on a
no
desk. Like I grew up,
at all.
Yo, I remember my mom, she would like I'd be in like sixth grade. She's like, your room's a mess. It's like, I organized it, but just put all my pens like in a fucking Tupperware and other
yeah.
shit like that.
In a yogurt
and,
container.
Or old cookie
yeah, yeah,
bins.
Yeah.
That's the
oh,
thing.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
you go to like an auntie's house and there's like those Danish cookies bins.
Oh, the blue one?
Like,
the blue metal one? That's
yeah, yeah,
for sewing.
Yeah,
that's for sewing.
You open
yeah.
it, it's just like no. sewing. Yeah, sewing.
That's for sewing.
That's everyone.
Our sewing kit. That's our yeah, yeah. sewing kit. They people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's just, it is funny because I think of that too. I have, it's just not in my brain to think of buying organizational bins or holders or things like that. So I think as just how I'm kind of a, like a messy person, people who have been to the iHeart office back when it was running, my desk looked like some kind of fucking hoarder's like nightmare. But I'm
I will
learning
organize
it now.
Your office for you. I literally love it. Like it's like I think a new addiction because if it's fun to organize.
Do you, really also, percentage when you're organizing, what percentage of the stuff are you throwing away?
Am I high? Oh, what am I throwing away?
Yeah.
Okay,
is my high.
How high are you? And what percentage of the stuff are you
so
throwing
high.
Away?
Well, so like I'm trying not to throw away too much because that's the part I think will become annoying. Like literally I'm like, my boyfriend will be like, it's fine, do whatever. So I just try to reorganize. But I already moved in, so a lot of my stuff is gone.
Okay.
So it really is just rearranging. And I think that yeah. part, I love it because sometimes until you move, you don't realize that what the flow is going to be. So
yeah.
I've had to shuffle where the keys go like maybe four times. And that is probably annoying. But, you know, my boyfriend yeah. is saint and he just acts like he doesn't mind. I hope he still loves me. But
I'm sure he does. You're lovable.
But are you saying that they've also improved the container game? Like it's no longer like the containers that you can get are better than they used to be?
Yeah, I think so. I think they realized we were using Tupperware and repurposing like old, yeah. like, you know, boxes and shit. Like I used to put my magazine in an old Amazon box, like cut in half. And yeah. now it's like, you know, you don't have to spend a lot. You can just couple bucks and get these like nice
yeah.
plastic bins that stack. And
or my mom, she'll put fucking wrapping paper, like nice wrapping paper on other boxes to turn them up.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, my mom has this closet nice. Of yeah. old boxes. Like literally, I'm like, we don't need this. There's like stores that are out of business. Like she says boxes for.
She's like, what do you mean we don't need this May Company box anymore?
So I feel like the one time we made a real run at getting organized, my wife and I are both very disorganized people. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought your wife was like the opposites attract thing. Like,
No. We are like identicals attract in that respect.
Because her majesty looks at me and is disgusted sometimes.
Yeah. No, it's truly like we were like, should we really get married? This is going to be a problem. Like, we really love each other, but this is going to be a problem because we are identically ADD messy people. And we've made it work so far, but we've like made multiple runs at getting organized. And sometimes the last time we did it, like via a container store approach, the stuff just kind of looked like shit and ended up kind of all over the place. We just had a messy house with containers in there.
Yeah, you got to go not too, because I used to be like too ambitious and be like, I'm going to do the whole room. And then you start doing it and then nothing matches. But with the little thing, you start small, like you organize the desk and then you get like, you know, oh, now I have confidence. I could do the kitchen. I could do the bathroom. And then pretty soon it's like the insides are good. So you can then the outsides follow.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. Such is life. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
And we're back. Got the double thumbs up, like the beginning of Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick.
That's how every movie starts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go, movie, start.
And we're a go.
And we're characters now.
All right. So conspiratorial thinking abounds, Miles. Yes. This is your story. I'm going to let you take it from there.
Well, I mean, that's true no matter who says that sentence, I would say. But yes, it is all. I mean, look. Last week, right, when, you know, like the anti-vaxxers, I think they believed they got a gift from like blonde haired Jesus when like NFL player Damar Hamlin collapsed, passed away like momentarily from a cardiac arrest and was revived. Immediately, the fucking tweets and posts talking about died suddenly, just ramped up exponentially. There's this group called the Center for Countering Digital Hate, and they're a nonprofit that looks at disinformation and things like that. They said that the phrase died suddenly had quadrupled that day. Like, well, the daily average is only about 4,000 mentions. This was doing about 17,000, where right. people are going on this whole died suddenly. And do you guys remember, we've talked about this phrase, died suddenly, before, because there was that shitty, I guess, documentary that they called it, but it was really just a montage clip of people collapsing due to any other reason, right. aside from having like a COVID vaccine and actually not dying. And people were like, oh man, this is fucking scary, man. Look at what the vaccine's doing to people. People are just dying left and right. Well, this, like, the fervor around that shit hasn't died down. And this guy specifically just recently came back up in the news. You may have remembered us talking about him. His name is Christopher Keys. He was the guy that was called the vaccine cop, who wore like a fucking badge.
Oh, yeah.
And he tried to citizens arrest a fucking governor for like approving vaccines for kids. And he also, remember his last, I mean, we really talked about him because of his last science breakthrough. Let me just remind you really quick what he's told Please. A room full of people, what the antidote to the COVID vaccine was.
You know, take it with a grain of salt, but go do the research, okay? Because this is going to just be like, there's no way. But the antidote, and I'm going to kill my credibility, but what credibility do I have anyway? So, hey, the antidote that we've seen now, and we have tons and tons of research, is urine therapy.
Urine therapy.
Okay? And I know to a lot of you...
And a lot of people are like, what the fuck is this dude? Yes, he's talking about drinking your pee-pee so you can negate the vaccine and be free. Well, now this guy's back at it again. And so he was on a plane and he was asking the pilots if they were vaccinated because they could die suddenly uh-huh. due to their vaccination. So this is, we're just gonna play this clip. This is, he was just like going up into the cockpit and like, hey, how you fellas doing? Blah, blah, blah. You guys aren't vaccinated, are you? Just play this. This is him walking up to the cockpit.
We just found out another pilot dropped dead.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Yes. You guys aren't vaccinated, are you, I hope?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Both of you?
Come on.
Yep. Are you serious?
He's just speaking through the...
Oh, my gosh. You're young enough. Okay.
So he's laughing off. He's like, yeah, okay, yeah, sure thing. More on that later. I bet you guys will be fine. Then guess what? The fucking flight landed because no one's dying suddenly as shit. And then this is, he goes up to the pilots, I guess, just to like double back on being like, yo, I know I was talking to this shit. Like, let me just check in on you guys one more time because I don't want to take that L.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Can I give you a card real quick?
Yeah.
Please, guys, if you die watch suddenly. The documentary we just put out called Died Suddenly by Stu Peters.
All right.
You said you were young, brother.
27.
But again, we've had over 1,000 athletes drop dead on the football field, 23 years of age. Please go look at it.
That's a lie.
We have a team of over...
You hear the pilot just goes, that's a lie, right back. Because it is a fucking lie. Yeah. He's yeah. just like, get the fuck out of my face, dude. That's a... Thousands of people aren't going down. He's likely referencing this, like, website that just has a list of fucking athletes that have died. Yeah. Like, for any reason. They'll be like, 66-year-old rugby legend died.
Yeah.
Suddenly. Okay. And just leaving it at that. And I think it's worth mentioning all this because Tucker Carlson has made the same claims on his show. And we're now looking at a like House of Representatives where like the plandemic adrenochrome gang are going to be setting a lot of the agendas for what kind of legislation they even discuss or the, you know, the business a lot of these committees. And McCarthy, he finally got his speakership, but he basically had to give away all his power to these people just so he can have a bigger office and hold a wooden dildo. And we're going to pay the price because of this, because now we have people who are, if you hear even what he said in his first speech, he's talking about things like looking into the origins of the pandemic or like looking at like what's going on with the CDC. All of this language is meant to begin a ton of quote unquote investigations right. that are just going to challenge people's sense of like established truth or reality. Going into 2024.
This is who we are ceding ground to. When people are like, he's made some concessions and ceded some ground. Like, this is who he's ultimately ceding ground to, is the guy who wants to make his pilots let him watch them drink their own pee before yeah. takeoff to make sure that they're covered.
It'll only be a matter of time until Dr. Pee-Pee is going up to do like some kind of testimony in front of Congress or whatever about how like he's seen it all, folks.
Yeah.
But again, this is all... it's just very dangerous too, because when you look even how epidemiologists are talking, they're like, man, the way these diseases mutate and we have new variants, like we're looking at like a new pathogen like every 6 years that we have to contend with, whether it's like SARS or MERS or COVID, like they keep coming. And so there's no world in which you got to be like, we don't need to look into any of this shit anymore.
Right.
Like, it's all bullshit. And I don't know how on earth the country can protect itself, because it did already did a terrible job when the shit started in 2020, when the GOP is basically going to tell Americans like, hey, fuck science. They don't know shit, really.
Yeah. They've like built out the scaffolding already for the next pandemic. And now everybody, like prior to the pandemic, like people, I think like there's been a huge drop off in like the number of people who actually are not skeptical of fucking vaccines just across the board. Like they've done quite a bit of damage. And it's very frustrating. Like, this is one of the most frustrating sort of cognitive biases to deal with, like the sampling bias or sampling error, where it's just any news story can be used to make the case. Like, it didn't make any sense to me. Like, it hadn't crossed my mind that the NFL story would be used in this way to like try and bias people against vaccines. But it's like the, you know, that year everyone was like, God, like 2018 is on a weird one. All these celebrities are dying. And it's just like, no, there's just a lot of celebrities who are in their 60s and 70s and 80s at this point. You know, it's like that. It's, you're just seeing, it's like, I used to think people in Russia were the wildest drivers. And it turns out it's just that most Russian cars have a dash cam. And so you just see all the footage of the wildest shit that's happening on roads everywhere around the world happen. And like they actually share the footage, as opposed to, you know, we don't all have cameras constantly taking the footage in.
Hey, well, now we're catching up, because now more American people have them now. And the clips are starting to have American license plates in them.
Yes.
And they're equally fucking out there drivers here. I mean, shit, in L.A.
I think where I live in Glendale is like considered the worst driving in the country.
Right.
Really? Tell you,
it is.
It's earned. Yeah, I mean, the 134, lawless. It's lawless. And I grew up driving on that shit. I'm a good driver because I've had to transit the 134.
Protect yourself.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's had some of the most fucking fucked up accidents ever on it. Like,
yeah, the 134.
Yeah, there was one where a guy like was ejected onto like a fucking freeway sign.
Wow.
Like,
yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
It's just a lot of wild shit. Anyway, but all that to say, yeah, our confirmation biases are out there. But it's just very scary to think of like how even in our, like when the pandemic started here in 2020, like the CDC and the government was like, it looks like a lot of stuff's happening in New York right now. Should we start testing for that?
Right.
And they just didn't. And then, you know, cue curb theme song.
People have to remember in general that state lines are just made up.
Right.
Because a lot of times people will be, you know, I'm from the East Coast and I'll visit home and people will be like, wow, California, there's a lot of like fires and stuff out there, huh? And it's like, you live here too. Yes, yeah. I'm like closer, but your planet is also on fire. It's not just like, oh, it's only California. And once it hits that line, we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only slightly further away from you.
I think, yeah, we have such a terrible like compartmentalization problem in America, like whether it's class or race or like whatever. People are like, well, that's for this other thing outside of my little box I think I'm inside of. It's like, no, motherfucker. Like, to your point, it's like we're all on this same rock, you know,
and the problems happening here
can get to you. They will eventually.
Yeah, I flew here in like a few hours. Like, it's happening. You might want to, like, you know, take some cover or something.
Right.
Yeah. Well, a little bit further, but still, you know, part of an ongoing trend that we've been tracking here that we're seeing happen in Brazil is the rise of fascism, and like a very specific type of fascism that is like MAGA fascism, I guess. So Bolsonaro lost his election. And
well, that's what they say.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know.
We don't know. We got
according to
machines.
Who? According to who?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's all part of It is like what you satirize on your show, what the P doctor, the only doctor I listen to, and
of course,
and this Bolsonaro thing are all a part of this same trend of people feeling disaffected and lonely and feeling, you know, rejecting the kind of liberal mainstream status quo in many cases for like good reasons and in many cases for horrifying, you know, racist reasons. But they are like, it's a growing movement that it feels like we're not doing the right things to prevent. But what the latest kind of flare up of this is that after he lost the election, he kind of pulled a Trump and, you know, disappeared to Florida, but continued to spread wild conspiratorial nonsense to the point that supporters storm Brazilian Congress over 2022 election loss was the number one story over the weekend on TMZ.
What?
TMZ.
Okay.
None of the rioters are dating Pete Davidson, but that was their number one story. So
right.
TMZ's onto it. I think we should be too. But I don't know. His protesters have been blocking roads, setting vehicles on fire, camping out outside military headquarters, urging the armed forces to intervene. And yeah, a lot of American media outlets are comparing this to January 6th, partly because we are incapable of seeing a global news story and not making it about ourselves.
Yeah, well, but also when Steve Bannon is a Bolsonaro advisor,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And he was ringing that bell from over here. Like last year saying like, I don't know, looks like real contested. We'll see what happens. I mean, his whole thing was like, I'm hoping for another January 6th in Brazil. And it's weird too, because like it was everything about it was just kind of off. Like it was on a Sunday, so no officials were there. So right. Like they weren't necessarily like stopping the certification of an election or something. They just like pulled up and just like ransacked the place. And that was like about, then there's even like a QAnon shaman, like fucking like analogous dude, but in Brazilian colors who also showed up. There's like so much imitation happening too.
Yeah.
Every country has one of every type of person.
Right. Yeah.
So, exactly. Yeah,
there's an Italian one, there's a Spanish right. one. Yeah. They all have one.
Yeah.
But it's funny too, because like they go into it thinking they're like, this is what the people want. Like they're on this like wave of self-righteousness. Like even with the January 6th people, they're like, we're patriots or whatever. But the problem is, like, I think because they think they're on such a like righteous course and then they like objectively lose an election, it's like, well, I'm not gonna fucking say, oh, maybe I didn't represent the will of the people.
Right.
They're gonna double down and be like, no, fuck it. Put your face paint on and now we'll storm the Capitol. Like, I don't know if you saw that one clip where the one guy's like, yeah, man, we can take that building. We can get in there. And there's a guy behind him who's like, and then what? Like on January 6th. And that's kind of the mentality. It's like, yeah, you're angry, you pulled up, but because you're all there motivated by this, like all of these very disparate principles, like everyone's there for their own fucking weird reason. Like they don't quite turn into like this hyper potent thing. But I will say this. I mean, obviously Brazil has had a military dictatorship, so they're not far off being like, y'all get involved like y'all did in the 60s to 80s, please.
Yeah. And apparently the local police report to the governor, who is a former Bolsonaro ally. And this was similarly to January 6th, this was being planned openly on the internet for at least 2 weeks. I think there was even more planning to the point that buses were chartered that showed up for the storming of the Capitol. Like this is like a, you know, the Civil War reenactments. They're like, all right, this is what you do when you lose an election and have a right wing dictator on the ballot.
I love that everyone for all this stuff has to use social media and text messages. You know, like no one is like, hey, if we're going to be secretive, obviously we can't text.
Yeah.
And they all just text openly.
Yeah.
And then they get subpoenaed.
Right.
And it's like, look, it's all here. I have every text that they wrote to each other.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, I just can't help it. You know, it's convenient. I like the blue bubbles. We all got to have iPhones when we're planning.
Yeah. The second they figure out their OPSEC, it's trouble. Know. But until then, their egos will continue to assist those who are seeking
just
to hold them accountable.
Keep texting.
Yeah, put it on Getter or whatever site.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Signal.
I think there's something that is like specifically social media driven about the like that specific impulse of, well, there must have been cheating going on because everyone I speak to mm-hmm. and all the information that I see is like creating this world where he's going to win in a landslide. And that is because you are being fed an algorithm that is designed just for you based on what you want to see. So like that, it, again, it's like a very, it's a lonely world by design in that it has been designed exactly and only for you. And so it doesn't right. actually, like, where else are you going to find the people who agree with you, but on social media, because
you can't go door to door.
Right.
Right.
Just thinking of Storm in the capitals. Nice to meet you, neighbor.
Just knocking on the door. Hi, I just wanted to see what, right. what you knew about a violent overthrow of the government, yeah. and I might be able to interest you in joining us this weekend.
Just a quick right. yes or no.
Yeah.
But the riot was condemned by pretty much everyone except for Steve Bannon and other MAGA folks who were like,
yeah.
it's Brazilian freedom fighters. That's what we're looking at.
There were some quiet Republicans. Like, they're still the ones that are trying to figure out like where their soul is.
Yeah.
Or they're like, I'm not going to rah-rah it, but I can't say that's bad because then I'll get just absolutely, you know,
so you just
assaulted
wait, just
on the internet by the MAGA people. But yeah, we shall see.
Yeah. But Dan, it sounds like you, when we mentioned him earlier, like Steve's a friend.
Yeah.
Steve Bannon.
Stevie B.
Yeah. Steve's a good pal. He and I have the same skincare regimen.
Oh, great.
And yeah, he's a beautiful, fun guy. Love him.
Yeah.
Do the same dental routine too? Sleep with a bunch of Jolly
Absolutely.
Ranchers in your mouth?
Yeah. And just, yeah. I'm like, Steve, how do you get those cool red spots all over you?
That Jolly Ranchers. Like, all
your
night.
Your insides are on your outsides because you're so evil that your body can't contain right. Any kind of maladies.
Yeah. That's true power when your body starts turning itself yeah. inside out.
Yeah, yeah, when you look like the Emperor or whatever from Star Wars. Yeah. You're like, cool, you're in a good spot. You look like the bad guy, like the worst bad guy ever made in movies. You look like him.
Got that right. Palpatine swag.
Palpatine,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
Rise and grind, I'm yeah. on my Palpatine.
Dude, I nailed him. You called yeah. him Palpatine? That's messed yeah. up, man. You heard it here.
There it is.
Why don't they call it Roundteen?
He's a round emperor.
There it is. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge.
My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
And we're back. And this is our JFK assassination conspiracy. For our generation. So back in 2012,
woo,
you might remember.
What a time.
I didn't, but you guys did. Kim Kardashian was flower bombed. She was being interviewed on the red carpet. Someone came up and I thought it was going to be more like violent than it was. It was more of like she was sprinkled with flour. Her head did go back and to the left as it happened, but she was at an event launching her new perfume. It drew attention to the product and the seriousness of baking ingredient-based attacks.
But, absolutely.
Police were called and everything. Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department says deputies were called to the London Hotel because somebody threw powder on her. And, you know, you don't know that it's flour. Uh-huh.
Exactly, yeah.
Could be the cocaine that her PR agent was doing when...
Yeah. Tea.
Yeah. Also, that's an expensive prank.
Yes.
Literally. Yeah,
throw like a quarter pound of cocaine on somebody. But, okay, do you. You got 8 ounces of money.
Woo. She bravely refused medical treatment at the time. Paramedics were called to the hotel, but Kardashian refused medical treatment and described it as the most craziest, unexpected, weird thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, do you want to, Jack, you said you've never seen it. Do you want to see
I watched
moment?
The video for the story. Yeah.
I mean, the audio is just interesting because she's giving an interview and the person just utters fur hag because it was like an anti-fur protest, supposedly. But she's giving an interview. She's talking. Oh, here comes a person from the back with the bag. Oh. Here's the thing, though. This is the beginning of Kim Kardashian's terrible acting career.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowing what we know now, her reactions are very like, I knew that shit was going to... She's like feigning outrage. She's like,
feigning outrage, smiling.
Look, she's smiling. She's smiling right here.
Yeah, she's like, smiling.
Oh, shit, it happened according to plan. Anyway, so...
Yeah.
What were you saying about this event?
And then walks off with her head down, like almost like trying to stifle a laugh.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Or it was kind of doing that thing where like someone threw on a reality show where someone throws a drink on someone and they're not trying to let that phase them. So they go, right. Oh, okay.
Right, yeah. Right.
And just wipe the drink off.
Right, that before grabbing their hair. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, we recently learned that it was all a PR stunt. She was totally in on it. Her PR agent and her planned the faux attack in order to create a media moment.
Mm-hmm.
She supposedly told Kim Kardashian, if we create media gold, guess what's going to happen? Everyone's going to be talking about your perfume. Everyone's going to buy it.
Did that happen?
I'm wearing it right now.
Oh, okay.
Gosh. Okay.
I thought you were saying you always wear white diamonds, you said.
Yeah. It's a little, it's a melange.
Oh, you're switching it up?
Okay. Like classy, honey. He's classy. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Tom Cruise have something similar happen to him too, where he got flower bombed at the same year?
He got sprayed with a squirt gun, I think.
Was it? I thought he got flower bombed too.
Oh, did he?
I think he did.
Maybe they were like, this works so well.
Or maybe he got glitter bombed. Let's see. There's a whole thing. He said, Slibs get attacked, glitter bombed, flower bombed. Kim got the flower. Who is this? I think Lindsay Lohan got hit with glitter and flour. Oh, yeah. I don't know. That looks like a liquid on Tom Cruise. What did you say?
Okay, so then maybe he did get wet.
At one point get sprayed with a squirt gun. And I just remember he has this like very friendly facade. But when he got sprayed with a squirt gun, went away fast.
He turned it up.
It was
I thought this was a part of something about Mary.
Somebody has a screen cap.
I was like, what is happening in this picture? So, yeah. He got mad.
Lindsay Lohan and the screen cap that they used of her glitter bomb attack looks like she's being hit with molten metal.
Yeah, or like a grenade went off.
I don't know. This is interesting to me because it suggests that like there are those times where you hear a conspiracy theory. Like I had recently heard that all the Don't Worry Darling extreme media push controversy was all part of some 4D chess plan. And it did seem to, like, it had a big opening weekend and then kind of died off after that. But that is a big opening weekend is usually a testament to a really successful media push. And I don't know, like, this. So first of all, it's such a bad idea, like, to say out loud, we're going to make people buy your perfume by dumping flour on your head. But it is also like it was definitely like conceived by someone who was doing too many stimulants, I think, whether it be coffee or what it was. But it does kind of open my mind to, okay, I'm going to be viewing anything like this in the future through new glasses because of this.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense because so much is like celebrity is such a spectacle that all you have to do is, you know, think a little bit ahead of how people are going to respond to what's happening to a celebrity. And you get this kind of shit like all the time where like it would be like, oh, if someone does this, then it's popping. If you got all this talk around, you know, the stuff that was going on set or whatever, people are going to be talking because I feel like because the days we used to just take movies in, there would be a billboard. There'd be a fucking bus bench ad. There'd be a couple music videos and you knew a movie was coming out.
Right.
But I think in the age of like the internet and everything, it's like those same, I don't think those work in the same way. And they kind of have to do like run psyops on the fucking audience to get them interested on some level. Right.
Well, related, but not related. I was thinking about the whole, I don't know if you've all talked about it, but the Jen Shah thing, right? So her bringing a fake bag to her, her sentencing. Everyone has been talking about that. And I'm like, as much as people are like, oh, this thing, I'm like, that's what these reality folks have been crafted to do. They've learned how to make every moment of their, like, anything happens. It's a moment. And so, like, I'm not surprised that someone would come out and say Kim Kardashian's flower bomb thing was a moment. For me, I'm sorry, but I'm laughing because as I'm looking through the photos, there's these people vacuuming up the flower. And it's taking me down every time I see someone with an actual vacuum vacuuming up the flower. But all that to say,
crime scene cleanup.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Clean it up. Yeah. I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. But I'm curious to hear from you guys, any Zeitgang, what are stories like this that you always suspected were an inside job? There have been rumors that Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian's sex tape leaks were both, you know, things that they did that, you know, whether it was an inside job or not, both like exploded their careers and to the stratosphere, you know. So
did Paris Hilton say that she wasn't a part of that?
She has come out and said that, but it's always been rumored that. So
right, because you know. Because I feel like the guy she was with is like a total fucking predator.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what other things. I mean, I'm not saying this is an inside job, but when the Caitlyn Jenner Vanity Fair cover came out,
right
when she came out, that was the day like the renewal of the Patriot Act was going on, and there was a lot of outrage because Edward Snowden was like being like, you know what the NSA is kind of up to.
Right.
And there was a huge conversation around surveillance, but the debate, like on like the day before, there's all this debate going on. And then that like they were like trying to get the votes right and they finally got it through. Just served as a great, it was more of an example of a great like pop culture distraction while something really fucking like despicable is happening. Yeah. That's what I always thought. Like when you look at the dates of it, you're like, wow, that's I think just more serendipitous for the military industrial complex and surveillance state.
Right. But then Caitlyn Jenner ends up being a Republican politician.
Yeah. Right. Oh, and then you're like, and then at the end, it's like, it was an op.
Right.
Just so you know. I feel like Julia Fox was never interested in Kanye, but that's not necessarily something I think was a setup. That just seems like self-serving, like social climbing of the lowest common denominator variety.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What other, you know, like was it Tom Cruise jumping up and down on the couch? That felt contrived.
That did.
Or was that real? You know, like, where do we land on that?
I think that was a Dean Scream level, like, the media ran with something because they were ready to pile on.
You're doing the opposite!
And because he, when you picture that moment in your mind, what do you see? Like, do you see him jumping up and down on the couch?
I see.
Like it's a trampoline.
Yeah, in my mind, I think.
So
why?
What actually, he jumped on the couch, stood there for a second, and then jumped off. Like when you go back and watch it, it's underwhelming.
He just hopped on.
Yeah, he hopped on hopped on. He like, I'm not saying the version that came through into the like collective consciousness was earned by just like his being intense to a degree that it's like, well, that person's really not human and their career is built on them portraying humans up to that point. And since then, Tom Cruise has been like, all right, what if my thing is just I'm the most intense person and I will die for you to watch my movie? But I think I don't think the media had to work too hard on that one as opposed to the Dean Scream. But I do think that that one was, it was just people were ready to be like, this person is, we're out on Tom Cruise.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. That's my theory. Anyways. Yeah. But yeah.
Did he say, I love my wife, or did he say, I love that woman?
I love that woman, I believe is what I remember.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Very believable.
Yeah, there's a lot of that's a lot of drugs, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, or thetans, you know?
Yeah, I think he's just got the natural. He's got that CEO energy, you know?
Yeah, cuz he's like, yeah, if he weren't an actor, he'd be like some billionaire who like,
for sure.
You know, like let like millions of people die like under his watch.
Spends
but I don't know.
40% of his day clapping, you know, like just that energy.
Right.
All right. Well, speaking of other movie stars, Mel Gibson is reportedly making Passion of the Christ 2, Cruise Control, as Christ Control. Writer JM put it. It's not called Cruise Control. But
it should be Christ Control.
Yeah. Mm. But he's apparently just months away from making a sequel to his torture porn blockbuster, The Passion of the Christ.
What's it about?
Huh? So this is interesting. So he's talked before about the project and said that it's going to be wild and a vast theological experience that is an acid trip, which sounded cool to me, much cooler than the first Passion of the Christ. I don't know if y'all saw that, but that is this is the least movie-like movie.
The anti-Semitism was a little wacky in that one.
Oh my God. Me. And there's just like there's no plot. It's just a person getting beat until the thing.
And look, and Jim Caviezel is doing great now.
Yeah, it really it's sent like
full
him
QAnon. On.
He also, I'm pretty sure, got struck by lightning while he was on the cross during the filming of that movie. It's like, how many signs do you need? Like, this is the sort of thing y'all believe in. Like, how many side signs that a God is up there not wanting this to happen do you need, if that's what you believe in? But anytime.
Right.
Anyways, the idea is that it will happen in the time between Jesus dying and Jesus rising in like some like heaven, hell, netherworld thing. So it's just going to be a totally different genre. It's going to be...
Hey, all right. Hey, man, I'd love to see someone really
take
treat their religion and treat it with the proper sanctity and respect it deserves, being like, hey, man, what about between Friday and Sunday, though? What the fuck was, what was going on in that huh? When he was in the cave.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it starts off like Friday? Like it starts, like the first thing you see is Friday.
It'll start out with, but, boom, it's Friday.
Boom, boom. Yeah. But then they have him, what, like in a, I don't know. It's, I can't believe like someone's finding, whatever. Yeah. There's always somebody wants to make Jesus stuff.
Yeah. So there's a history of people trying to make sequels to this because Mel Gibson can't like copyright the story of Jesus or anti-Semitism. So you know, lots of people have been like, hey, this is a recipe that works. So there was a Christian film producer who tried to crowdfund $40 million to make a sequel. It didn't really go anywhere. Most fucked up attempt to make a follow-up to The Passion of the Christ came from the original film screenwrier, Benedict Fitzgerald. Benny Fitz, after the movie came out, was not getting any job offers, which is, you know, it is one of the most successful movies of all time. But on the other hand, the film was, let's say, controversial and also literal garbage. It's one of the worst movies. But Also, I was just like curious about like, what was his backstory? Was he working? Like, did he write Lethal Weapon 4 and then Mel Gibson roped him into this or what? Right. Not a ton of credits, but is from, like, have you ever seen Quiz Show, movie Quiz Show?
Yeah.
Where it's
with about, Ralph Fiennes and John Turturro?
Yeah. And this guy who is like from a famous intellectual family becomes a famous quiz show contestant and gets all the answers, but he's cheating. And like, that's what it seems like this person is. So his dad is a famous poet critic named Robert Fitzgerald. And when he was a kid, Flannery O'Connor babysat him. But he's like literary royalty. And this was kind of, he like worked on a couple of TV shows and then this was his biggest thing. And then everyone was like, oh man, we really didn't like that. So he hasn't been able to get work, but he was able to get a big payday by saying, actually, okay, what about prequel? Any interest in a prequel? And everyone's like, hell no. But he was able to raise money to make the movie by turning to a Mexican drug cartel.
Okay.
Signed an agreement with them. Was very.
Oh, they sign agreements?
Yeah, exactly. Was shockingly incurious about like, what are these people? Where's all this money coming from?
Right.
From these people that nobody in Hollywood's ever heard of.
Right.
And the cartel sued him over some money he couldn't pay back. And
no, the cartel sued him?
Yes.
I like that the cartels are like, hey, man, get a business agreement.
This guy's a
mess. We don't know this guy. Yeah. We don't know him. We don't know how he moves. Mm-mm.
So the cartel signed over the rights to the movie to two men, one of whom wanted the other to give up his half of the script. And when he refused, the other guy kidnapped his brother, with the ransom being a faxed note agreeing to give up his half of the Passion prequel.
Oh my God.
This is the movie. This is the movie.
I don't understand
why someone's not making this a movie.
Just be writing what is happening to stupid ass.
This guy runs afoul of the cartel. There's fucking kidnapping over the rights to the Passion of the Christ prequel.
This is the movie. Why is no one making this?
Is this optioned? Has someone optioned this? Because we should.
Yeah,
this is actually a fantastic movie that you could make. Like, and you don't have to talk about
Argo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The script was then sold for $1 million to a producer who was immediately questioned by the DEA. And then when an arrest was made, the government, like the U.S. government, claimed the rights to 10% of the future profits of Mary, Mother of Christ, the name of the movie, because it was going to be all about Mary, which they then ended up losing in court. Like, they got sued to give up their rights to it. And then after all that, the movie was never made because the script had become tainted. But this is the legacy of a Passion of the Christ sequel, which is on one level, it's like the Titanic sequel. Like, it's a thing you would joke about.
You don't need
it. It feels impossible. Yeah. But, yeah.
This is a lot. I got to see this movie now about this fucking guy going to the cartel to make a film that is so awful and the downward spiral that ensues. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know? But I just like that the pivot was, all right, then. Let's do it, like, right after they take him off the cross. Until Easter Sunday, we'll do that. Okay, we burned the prequel. Nobody has the rights to the acid trip in the fucking cave, tomb, as it were.
That's right. So we'll see. We'll all be eagerly awaiting
where
he was
talking to Satan, snake, the serpent.
Do you think, what is that going to look like? You know what I mean? How do you even do that? I feel like even Christian people who fucked with the first one might even be offended by whatever the director's depiction is of all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. It's going to be wildly offensive and boring at the same time, like the first one.
Yeah. Like, is there going to be a scene where he's like, you know what I mean? Like going into like a
wormhole.
They're
spinning the camera.
And then he lands in like a dark void. Where am I? Welcome to hell, Jesus.
Like, you're mine unless you can beat me in this fiddling contest.
James Brown gets a whole sequence. because he's down there entertaining. Yeah. Welcome to hell. And the doors open and it's just flames.
Get up! Oh!
So stupid.
Jesus is like, what is going on? I mean, that would be in a way, if you said there's a fucking sequence where Jesus goes in a fucking wormhole to a black void, which is hell, and then he has a dance battle with James Brown.
Yeah. The lights pop on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, look, I don't fuck with Mel Gibson, but this is so absurd, I might have to torrent the illegal version of the film because I might have to see that.
Absolutely. I would watch it just to laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, so wait, would Jim Caviezel come back for this?
I have to imagine. I don't think he's going to object. Jim Caviezel, he's gone full right-wing MAGA.
Yeah. What's that going to do? I know. I mean, talk about controversy on top of controversy. Hey, Passion of the Christ 2.
And it'll probably do extremely well from conflict marketing.
Yeah.
So
called Electric Tumaloo.
Yeah. It is funny to me that... It is funny to me that they blamed for the flower bombing, like their made up villain was an animal rights person. Like they're just always they know
they get blamed for everything.
Yeah. They have the 4D chess mind to know that like the media wants to blame. Like they won't look too deep into that. They would love to blame an animal rights person. So
right.
Yeah. There it is. But yeah, I mean the first Passion of the Christ is probably the best example of conflict marketing. Like that movie is a monster hit.
Yeah.
And I don't like churches were being like, it is your duty. You will go to hell if you don't go out and see this movie.
Cause isn't it in Aramaic too and shit?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that
made in a whole bunch of different languages.
Yeah. All right. Well, can't wait to see the Shroud of Turin. Like, is he going to use the shroud as like, does he tie that up in like a nice head wrap or something?
Right. Like Rambo style.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
we're starting our own.
Yeah. The three of us about to write this script, John.
We have to write this. This has to get written.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.